Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 7th, 2012, episode 353, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, howdy, everybody. It's Wednesday. It was okay today. And today, yesterday was the day we found out whether the Horse Radio Network won the ESMA Award in the Best Broadcast category. And you're going to find out whether we did today in my daily Winnie.
Ooh.
So good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. I don't even know if we won or not. I have a prediction, but I'll save it. I'll say okay. Whether we won the Equestrian Social Media Award against every other broadcast, equestrian broadcast company in the world, really. So I can't wait. I'm waiting with
you.
David
have
Brett.
No faith. You have no faith.
All right. I'd love to be surprised. Just love it.
I wouldn't hold your breath. All right.
Okay. No worries.
You'll turn blue and die first.
Oh, that's great.
One of my favorite morning shows is Bob and Sherry. They're a national show. They're on their morning radio show. They're kind of goofy, silly, and fun. They have been up for the Marconi Award, which is, you know what that is. That's the radio version of the Oscars.
Yes, and that is the biggest radio award. If you win a Marconi, I mean, You've been in the business for a long time, and you've been very successful.
Well, they have been nominated in the best radio show category 9 times and have not won ever. So they joke every year. They get nominated. They don't even go to the awards ceremony anymore because they know they're going to lose. So 9
they're
times.
They're the Susan Lucci of the Marconi Awards. Bless their heart.
Yes.
But eventually Susan Lucci did win, so, you know, it could be their year. Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah, people like Rush Limbaugh and those kind of people keep Howard Stern keep beating them out, you know. So we are never going to win a Marconi either because I don't even think they count little radio shows about horses on the Internet.
No, probably not. I think we're going to be just kind of watching that one from the audience, okay? I don't think it's going to be an issue.
We can't even win an ESMA award, and that's in the horse category.
Well, we don't know.
We won last year.
An ESMA.
We won last year. Yeah, we won last year, so we actually have won an ESMA. We won the first ESMA award.
The inaugural ESMA awards, again, people, that's Equestrian Social Media Awards. They belong to us.
That's right. We can, and it's hanging on my wall, by the way, in the office, right above my computer here.
You actually got one?
Yeah, he sent a certificate out. I actually got it in the mail. I haven't framed it or anything. I just took a big thumbtack and stuck it to the wall.
Excuse me. Then I do believe that should be shared time between the two of us. Because
you want me to send you
the
thumbtack too? And the ESMA? And the thumbtack?
You can keep your thumbtack, but you have to mail me the ESMA so I can put it up on the wall.
Okay. I probably should do that before we move, or it might get lost in the move. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've got a couple daily winnies, so we need to get to Jennifer to find out what's on today's show.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, another open mic moment with avid listener from down under, Mel Donald, who opens the show, and following a measure of adventure stories and headlines of dubious entertainment value, we will move on to Jamie's weekly opportunity to pick a veterinarian's brain without paying a farm call fee. That's right. It's the Horse.com's weekly horse health report. Stay tuned.
It's true. You get free vet advice every week.
Well, you know, it's totally worth it.
Hey,
I do. It's great.
Before we get onto the Daily Winnies, did you ever get the big banner that says Celebrity Marshals that we sent to you? From Norco?
I did. I've got it hanging in my office next to my Esma. Suck it.
You laugh, that banner is hanging right above my thing. It's right on my wall. All right, today my Daily Winnie goes out to the Esma winners from announced yesterday. And, of course, I want to remind everybody we will be doing the Esma wrap-up show on Monday morning, which to Jennifer's nightmare because it involves scheduling 10 to 15 guests and getting them all call in time. And it's just kind of a nightmare for Jennifer. But it's a fun show, so you should listen Monday morning. All right, yesterday, Twitter. The Esma was announced for Twitter, for the best use of Twitter in the horse world. And Samantha Clark, our friend and my former co-host of the 2010 radio show, came in fourth. An individual, one person came in fourth. Isn't that neat?
That's
congratulations,
great.
Samantha.
First, fourth is you're a loser. So keep going. Who won first? Who won?
Horse and Country TV, of course, regular contributors here to our show. They won the Twitter category. Social media this was social media for a charity. World Horse Welfare won that. Most informative, either Facebook page or Twitter account, things like that, Horse and Hound. Now, Horse and Hound won yesterday in social network category, and they won again today. So Horse and Hound. I see a trend here. We'll have to discuss this with Liam. I see a trend. Horse and Hound, Horse and Hound, Horse and Country TV, all English companies. Badminton,
mm-hmm.
Horse Trials. Kind of see the trend here. Broadcast media, the other one, our category. Now, there were nine entities in that running. Well, we came in fourth, along with Samantha Clark.
Fourth places for losers.
Now, I'm trying to see here, pulling up the website to try and see who came in.
You don't even know who came in first because you don't care.
I know who came in first. I'm trying to see who came in third and second. I'm trying to see who beat us here.
Okay. Well, let me just go ahead and point out. Who won our category?
Here it is. Where'd it go? Winning our category, which they're friends of ours, so I'm not too bitter. I'm only a little bitter, is Horse and Country TV. Again.
Horse and Country TV. Yeah, I'm definitely noticing a trend here. Liam's got to make this a little more public and publicize it to the United States a little bit more, because it seems to me like everybody that voted, like they only counted the English votes. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
He's going to be happy to hear you say that, I'm sure.
I'm calling shenanigans again. Shenanigans!
Oh, here. Third place was Equestrian Life. Second place was RFD TV, and first place was Horse and Country TV. But that does mean that we beat HR TV.
Okay,
so that's
I'm not calling shenanigans. That's because HR TV, for the most part, is a bunch of grumpy race people and our dear friend Susan Cain. So,
so Horse and Country TV wins that one. They beat us.
All right. Well, shenanigans. I'm talking to Liam about this. It's ridiculous.
Don't be bitter. I'm happy for the winners.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Susan Lucci was happy for the winners, too, okay? Your friends that did never won the Marconi, I'm sure they're very happy for the winners as well. That's why they don't even go to the shows anymore. Ridiculous.
We won last year.
Yeah, whatever. So my first daily Winnie goes to, I'm just going to have to give it to Zenyatta, because I have a feeling in the pit of my stomach that she is folding right now. That is not confirmed. That is definitely not true, and I have been wrong on multiple occasions about multiple things. So please do not go to the Facebooks and the Twitters and say she's folding. I just feel like she's going to fold today. So my daily Winnie goes out to Zenyatta, because I'm pretty sure she's gonna drop today. That was my first one.
I can see that. I sort of thought the same thing when I saw on Facebook yesterday that they announced that her owners had arrived to visit her. And I'm thinking, owners never, ever go visit the horses when they're having babies. They just sit back at the house and they take a look at the pretty pictures and say, nice foal, can it run? You know, and now the owners are there with Zenyatta for the next couple of days, the post said. Well, that's kind of an indication, isn't it?
Is it really? Well, I knew she was due sometime around here. I just feel like it's going to be today. And I would like you to know that I have been emailing Charles Zenyatta, the assistant broodmare manager at Lane's End Farm, where Zenyatta lives, and I have not got a response. Shocker. I'm like, is she having her baby? She's going to have, what does she do? I want to know, blah, blah, blah. And yet, no response just yet. So I'm going to keep trying, and I will definitely, well, that's why he doesn't tell me, because he knows I'll definitely let everybody know.
Yeah. I think all your friends are figuring that out, too. Don't say anything to Jamie. She'll talk about it on the air.
Yeah, don't tell her. Just don't tell her. I'm waiting on a response from Charles, so I will definitely throw that out as soon as I get one. And again, that will probably happen right as soon as we win this year's ESMA. Do you know what's important about today, Glenn?
What's that?
Does the number 50 mean anything to you? 50. I'm just going to help you out, because that's how many days till Rolex. Yay!
Oh.
50 days till Rolex. Yes, I did the math. Yes, I counted. And yes, I'm checking it out constantly. We have the first entries are in for Rolex. You are not going to believe who has entered for Rolex already. You can tell that this is going to be the biggest Olympic qualifier you can imagine. Because William Fox Pitt, who, by the way, is qualified to ride in the Olympics on nine horses, has entered four of them in Rolex. Do you know how much money it is to ship one horse overseas? He's shipping four. Well, at least he's entered four. Oliver Talman, he entered Lionheart, Mystic Core, Park Lane Hawk, and Sea Cookie. I don't know that horse, but Sea Cookie, I love the name. Kate Hicks, a U.S. rider, has entered Belmont. Clark Montgomery, Laughlin Glen. Karen O'Connor has two entered, Mr. Medicott and Veronica. And then Oliver Townend from Great Britain, as well as William Fox Pitt, has entered two. Sonia's Rovaccio. I don't know. Chris Stafford is listening to this, cussing me right now. Oliver Townend has also entered. Pepper Ann and Lucy Wigersma. Again, Chris is killing me right now. Is Granovetska Prince, also a Great Britain rider. If they're from Great Britain, they should have easier horses to pronounce. Okay? I mean, it's the same language. So there you go. We have those are the only people entered. But again, 50 days till Rolex. And that's so exciting.
You know what I figured out the other day is I had to figure out when I'm going to drive up now from. I've got to drive more than 4 miles to go to Rolex this year. And
are you going to fly?
No, I'm driving up because I have to bring all the equipment and the setup for the booth and everything. So I'm going to drive up, but I have to drive up on the 24th, which is, I believe, Tuesday. I'm taking a look here. Yeah, Tuesday the 24th, which is also my 50th birthday. driving
for 12 hours
on my 50th birthday.
Your 50th birthday is the 24th, and you're spending it 12 hours of it in a car? That sucks.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Hey, I have another Daily Winnie here quick because this is a late entry. Late entry in the Daily Winnie category. Before I get to my Daily Winnie, the Equestrian Social Media Awards posted on our page this morning. They must be listening. Share the certificate 6 months in Kentucky followed by 6 months in Arizona. Sound good? Hey, Liam, if you're listening, Jamie didn't mean anything she just said. We love you. Just saying. Hey, now my Daily Winnie is for my new ride. Take a look at Facebook. I always wanted to drive a chariot, and I always wanted to have a four-hand, except I can't handle two horses, let alone four driving them. I found my new ride. Check it out.
Oh, my gosh. That's the cutest thing I've ever seen. That is a four-in-hand being pulled, pulling a chariot, and it's a four-in-hand of four Palomino minis. Oh.
Pulling a chariot with a guy in a chariot costume. I love it. Isn't that great? I can handle those four.
Don't lie. You want to wear the dress and the tall knee-high boots.
I did that for a living for a while. I know exactly. Hey, somebody's calling in here, Jamie. Some winner is calling to gloat. It's Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. I'm sorry. Am I welcome back on the show?
You beat us. You just didn't win one yesterday. You won two. What's up with that?
I know, I feel quite greedy, but what can I say?
It's the voice that got it. You know, there's no voting. It's all Liam just subjectively picking who he wants to win, I'm pretty sure.
Just because I kept complimenting his lovely tie and his video.
Very
smart.
God, flattery will get you everywhere. I should have thought about that. Sorry, Liam,
indeed.
You're so good looking.
And the accent. Don't forget the accent.
Oh, I can do an accent. No, I can't. It's embarrassing. Liam,
congratulations. We're not bitter at all. We're just saying.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad.
Yeah,
you were a very worthy adversaries, but sadly, we just pipped you to the post.
No,
rub it in.
That's nice. I know, seriously. Put a little salt in the wound. How does one, when you win the big broadcast media category of the Equestrian Social Media Awards, what are you and yours going to do to celebrate tonight?
Well, the problem with Horse and Country is that our main office is in Wales. I'm in London, and we've got another office on the other side of London. And so we can't kind of have a big last-minute celebration. But a few weeks ago, one of the team members had a birthday, and somebody baked the most amazing horsey cake, which I will dig out the photo and post it on our Facebook page again. And so I think the girl who made the horsey cake should make us a horsey celebration cake, and that we should have champagne, and they should wait until I'm in Wales before we have it.
You know, nothing is a good. It's not a good day until you start drinking at the office, Victoria.
No.
So go ahead, have some champagne, and if you could, just what I want you to do is take that bottle of champagne and pour a little bit in a glass, and then I want you to extend that glass out and just pour it on the ground and say, "This is for my homies back in the United States who lost."
Oh, you didn't lose, you placed. That's very good. And imagine if, like, you were competing at Kentucky. If you came in the top 10, you'd be delighted. So, you should be very happy.
Not if nine are competing.
Those are the elite nine that made the final. You see, there was, I'm sure, hundreds that didn't make it.
So sweet. Pour a little out for us. That's all I'm asking.
I will do. I'll cut you a slice of cake and post it to America.
Okay, good. That was great. Yeah. Why don't you use social media to do that so we can just see it over here, okay?
Yes, and apparently we're quite good at social media, so we should be able to help with that.
God, she's harsh.
Hang up on I do have to confess, if you look in today's video, they have a little thank you to all the judges, and I was one of the judges. But I would just like to say that I wasn't allowed to judge any of the categories of Horse and Country or Hickstead, which is the other page that I manage. So although I am a judge, I just don't want any allegations that I've been been showing favoritism or anything.
Go ahead, Jamie. Say your word.
It's shenanigans. It's totally shenanigans. You're a judge and you won too. This is complete shenanigans. I'm out. I'm done talking to you.
I'm afraid so, but Liam made us be very honest about it. So I had to judge very international categories, like all the ones, the FEI categories at the end. I did quite a few of those. I had
you
to practice
what?
My foreign languages.
That's why we didn't win, is because Victoria was one of the judges and she couldn't even vote on us. She would have voted for us.
I'm afraid not.
All right, Victoria. Well, thank you for calling in to gloat. We really appreciate
my
it.
My pleasure. Thank you for
whatever.
Hey, Jennifer, do we have a spot for her next week? Just check in to see if we still had an opening.
I'm not sure. We might be booked full. Yeah.
Bye, Victoria.
Bye.
Congratulations.
Bye. Shenanigans.
She's a good sport.
Yes, I'll post it because I seem to be quite good at social media. Shut up. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Susan Nelson just posted on Facebook that she said there's a special full watch Twitter for Zenyatta. So, Glenn, being that you're better at Twitter than me, can you try to find that and then teach me how to use it? I've only tweeted twice, and one was to Blake Shelton and one was to Christina Aguilera. So I'm not really good at it.
All right, I'll take a look for that. Hey, before we go on here today with a neat interview I did at 6 o'clock this morning with one of our listeners in Australia, it's Glenn's Crappy List Wednesday, but I didn't have a crappy list. So I thought I would take a look at some of the, remember the poll we took a look at yesterday on horsechannel.com? Well, they do all kinds of horsey polls that we didn't even know about, and I found some of them interesting, so I thought I'd have you guess. Don't go there. This is your guessing game today.
Okay,
so now, if you could make one addition to your barn or farm, what would it be? A new riding arena, a new improved stalls, climate-controlled tack room, new riding trails, bigger pastures, or nothing, my farm is perfect.
When you asked me initially, I said lights in my arena is what I was thinking, but that's not a choice. So, I guess at this point I would probably say bigger pastures.
Well, you would be in with 25% of the people who responded to this poll, but the winning category was new and improved stalls. I guess people don't have very good stalls out there, and they want to improve their stalls. And then a new riding arena was in there at 25%. So, you were right in the top there. Which weather condition, this is going to be a great one for you, which weather condition is your least favorite for riding? And this is very regional, I would think. Extreme cold, extreme heat, rain and mud, snow and ice, or strong wind?
Wait, which one do I like the least?
Yes. Least favorite for riding.
Cold. Oh, yeah,
you know,
I live in the desert for a reason, okay?
Well, cold actually is the top one, 14%. Although this one was pretty spread out. Cold, heat were about the same. Rain and mud was in there. They were all about even, actually. So that one was pretty even. Now, I can't get to the next one. Hold on here a second. How often do you take riding lessons? What do you think the average is for people who take riding lessons?
Oh, my gosh. Knowing so many people that ride horses just for fun and don't have any desire to get better or, you know, just kind of teach themselves, I would say probably less than 50% take lessons. I take a lesson every 2 weeks, so twice a month for me.
Twice a month for you? This is actually once a week was the top one at 27%. More than once a week was at 15%. and once in a while was at 17%, and then never take lessons was at 35%.
35%, okay.
Yeah. So once a week seems to be the most, I think it's what you can afford. And in your case, you have to drive so darn far.
I know, an hour and a half one way for a lesson. I'm honestly lucky if I get one every 2 weeks, because sometimes I'm like, I really need a lesson. God, I don't want to drive. That's exhausting.
Well, and it's not just the drive now. You know, take a look, that's 3 hours, and, you know, how much gas is that? So you have to add that on top of your lesson cost, you know?
I know. No, if you could not bring all this up because my husband's in this room right now, could you not let him know how expensive all this is? Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, there was one on here. Do you listen to horse-related podcasts like us? And this just shows that there's a lot of room for growth in our industry. Yes, regularly was 8%, sometimes 14%. No, but I would like to, 30%. I'm not interested, 15%. And what's a podcast? 31%. So there's a lot of room for growth. Yes, regularly and sometimes was only 20%, which means we have 80% of the market to go yet, Jamie. We could get a Marconi yet.
That's going to be awesome. I would not go Marconi style, but I just think that maybe we need to get the word out about the podcast. So if anybody listening right now could tell 10 friends, 10 horse friends, then that would be very helpful, because, like, say we have 8 people, that's 80 more people that might listen. That's a pretty big deal.
That's true. Thank you, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
Post
tell
on Facebook.
Friends.
Tell everybody.
And you know, I don't even know, Glenn, because, you know, I guess we're a podcast, you know, if somebody's listening later, but we are a live radio show, too. I kind of put that above podcast. So maybe there's a lot more people that listen to us because we're live and we're not considered a podcast. I'm reaching here.
All right, you stick with that, Jamie.
Do the next list.
How often does your horse get treats?
Oh, my God. Well, me, let's see. It depends on who it is. But if it's a horse in training, I can't lie. Like 12 a ride. I'm not kidding. My pockets will be stuffed with peppermints because the politest way I have found to teach an ex-racehorse to stand still when you're mounting is to have a peppermint in your hand and you rattle the paper, then you get on them, and then you give it to them, and then they learn to stand still. And then, you know, like Joe Montana, our little horse, he's finally learning. I cantered him for the first time, and it was like riding on top of, like, let's see, you had a Jeep. And you were going down the road, and the entire road was full of potholes. And you were trying to get through the potholes to get to the smooth part of the road, and you had to go on the potholes at about 60 miles an hour. That was his trot leading up to the canter. But once he did actually canter, he got a peppermint. So maybe next time he won't trot 100 miles an hour like a sewing machine going up to the canter. We'll see.
And you're right in there, because 40% of the people usually after a ride or for training purposes. So you're right in there.
All right.
36% said all the time he's spoiled. Once in a while was 20%. And then 2% are heartless, cruel, evil human beings that said never.
Never? My horses, even at like 9:30 at night, I walk out there, give you a bed check, and they all get a carrot. I mean, seriously, okay, miners are so spoiled.
These never people would flunk Frankie and I's unnatural horsemanship class.
You know what those never people, you know the key to what the never people's existence is they can't catch their horse in a pasture, because the horse is like, why? You don't have anything. I'm not coming to you. My horses go, oh, my God, she's here. She's here. Go get her.
Well, I'll tell you what, Beaker will come. We have one of the fields he goes out in, it's like, what? Oh, man, it must be 10 acres. And it's huge. And you just don't want to walk to the other end of that muddy field to find him. And now he knows Jennifer spoiled him a little too. It's not just me. Jennifer spoiled him. So he comes tearing up to the front gate, and you don't have to walk through the mud. It's so nice.
It's brilliant. It's the easiest thing to train a food-motivated horse to come. So treats for everyone.
And that works with horse husbands, too, that are food motivated. How much time do you spend doing barn chores each day? And this is the choices. Less than an hour, 1 to 2 hours, 2 to 5 hours, or more than 5 hours?
I'm probably in the 2 to 5 category because I have six horses here, and I do everything myself. So probably 2 to 5.
And you don't have stalls you necessarily clean, but you go out and clean the paddocks, right?
I clean the pastures, and then, we only do the stalls once a week here because we're lucky enough to be able to do that. And so we do them once a week, but not any really more than that, sometimes twice a week, but because they stay in the pastures so much. So, yeah, I clean the pastures a lot, but I only do that like twice a week. But the feeding and, you know, unloading hay and blah, blah, blah. So 2 to 5.
All right. So, yeah, less than an hour is 33%. Those are all the people like us who have one horse in the backyard, you know?
And they board it.
Yeah, exactly. 1 to 2 hours, 40%. 2 to 5 hours, 20%. And more than 5 hours, 6%. Those would be the Aubreys of the world, one of our best listeners who just doesn't get a break. So she would be in the more than 5 hour category. But otherwise, it was pretty even. We had less than an hour and 1 to 2 hours, pretty even. 2 to 5 hours, those are your serious horse people who have a lot of work to do like you.
Yeah, good times. Those are the people that are too cheap to pay other people to do their work. That's really what it boils down to.
That's
me. I'm like, well, I could pay somebody or I could just do it and save the money. I'll save the money. I'm good because I would like to drive, an hour and a half for a riding lesson. So, the money's going to go somewhere no matter what. It's not like I'm putting it in the bank account. Just found creative ways to spend it.
And then the last one, let me get it here. If you could ride anywhere in the world this weekend, where would it be? And these are the choices. On some challenging mountain trails, on the beach, somewhere exotic like the jungle or African savanna. I'd explore historic sites on horseback. I'd rather just ride at home. So those are your choices.
Okay, wait. All I could think of was Spain on an Andalusian.
Okay. So if you could ride anywhere, if you could ride anywhere in the world this weekend, where would it be? On some challenging mountain trails, on a beach, somewhere exotic like the jungle or African savanna, I'd explore historic sites on horseback. I'd rather just ride at home.
I would like to put an addendum on the beach ride. I would do the beach, without a doubt. And I would do the beach in Spain on an Andalusian. Oh, wait, I'm going to do that in like a couple months. Yay! Dream vacation! Sorry, carry on. What would you do, Glenn? What would you do, Jennifer? Where would you rather ride?
Well, by the way, you were in the majority. 50% sit on the beach, which I kind of guessed. And Jennifer has ridden on the beach many, many times, and you did like that, didn't you, Jennifer?
The beach is awesome, except for the first time you ever take a given horse to the beach. A little dicey, but once you get that first trip over with, it's awesome.
Good. They're just scared of it? Probably not.
Usually what happens is you get on, and they're a little, they're up, the ears are, and the eyes bugging out and stuff, and Everything's fine. And then a wave crashes near them in just the right spot. And like a lightning bolt, they jump out from under you.
You're falling on the beach.
And
so
you're landing
awesome.
On the beach, yeah. And you hope that they don't run down the beach for 14 miles. But once you get that over with, it's really awesome to ride on the beach, yeah.
But that's why you have treats. So when they run away after you fall off, they come right back.
Well, that's also the joy of the beach. You know which way they went, and you're going to find them eventually.
That's true.
There's nowhere else to go.
The other one that sounds good on here is the African, going on like an African safari by horseback. That'd be pretty cool. That'd be like your once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience.
I'd feel too much like lunch walking around out there. I'm sorry. Oh, man, Spider-Man lunchbox written all over the back of your head. No. Give me a nice, safe Jeep. Thank you.
I would do the horseback thing, but I'm not gonna push my luck. I'm going to go with Spain first, and then I'm going to bring up the African safari to chat.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
One thing at a time, okay?
All right, let's take a break for a commercial, and then we'll come back. And I have an interview that I did with one of our listeners that I think you're going to find fun. But first, we have a combined commercial here for Equestrian Collections and Back on Track Products, our title sponsor for the day. Howdy, everybody. Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm speaking to Debbie, and we have our Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Today I wanted to talk about a product line called Back on Track. This is a perfect thing for the spring. As we're getting back into doing riding and doing more outside things, our muscles are going to get sore. One of the products that I particularly like is the Back on Track Poly Cotton Long Johns. Those things really help for your sore muscles, and they don't really make you hot. I know you worry about being hot, but they don't do that. They're just a nice, comfortable heat. We have them in men's sizes and lady sizes. There's also all other kinds of Back on Track products. You can cover yourself from your neck down to your toes, and this stuff really works. It uses ceramic heating elements within the product. We have all the descriptions online at www.equestriancollections.com. I highly recommend this product line.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that some of the hosts on the Horse Radio Network use these Back on Track products and have the clothing for themselves and absolutely love them.
Yes, I like to wear the shirt and the pants pretty much all the time.
Well, that's great. And they do have a wide variety of sizes. You're going to find one to fit you. And you can find them at equestriancollections.com. Just go there and search for Back on Track, and it'll bring up all the Back on Track products right there at equestriancollections.com. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you.
I talked about you in that ad, Jamie, because I know you wear the Back on Track boxer shorts.
You know what's really funny is that they're actually boxer briefs, and they are men's boxer briefs. But first of all, boxer briefs are the most comfortable thing in the world to sleep in, and then you throw a little bit of ceramic fiber in the fabric, and it's just awesome. I can't tell you any more than that. I would have liked to said that I got them for Chad because they're boxer briefs, but they're pretty much mine. I pretty much wear them all the time.
So if you're going to tell us more than that, then you have to switch to the Howard Stern Show. Is that what we're saying?
I'm not saying another word. They're awesome, though. That's all I'll say.
Of course, you can find all the Back on Track products at EquestrianCollections.com and many other retailers around the world. And we do love Equestrian Collections and Back on Track. Well, as part of our Getting to Know Our Listeners series, I had the opportunity early this morning, early this morning our time, but at least we were in the same day. I got to catch up with Mel Donald, who posts all the time on our Facebook page, and she's a listener out of Australia, and we got to learn a little bit more about her and what she encounters having horses in Australia. So here we go. All right, I'm on here with Mel Donald from Australia. She has been posting, I think, on our Facebook page since probably the very beginning. And in this continuing series to get to know our listeners better, we thought, why not start with somebody from Australia? Good morning or good evening, Mel.
Good evening, Glenn.
We had to record this piece because it's like the middle of the night when we're on live, isn't it?
Yep, about 1 o'clock, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever listened live?
I stayed up one day and didn't quite make it.
Well, we appreciate your effort. Now, tell us are you a horse person? Do you have horses?
Yes, I've got one horse. She's a 15-1 Appaloosa mare. And we do a bit of dressage.
Oh, is that right? On an Appaloosa, that sounds like fun. Now, you posted a picture on our Facebook page this morning of what I think is your horse, right? Is it gray?
Yes.
We've got to talk to you about a gray Appaloosa. I've got to find out about that. But it was a picture of a hot air balloon coming up over your horse. Where you live in Australia, by the way, where do you live in Australia?
I live in a small town called Mariba. We're in far north Queensland.
All right, so you're in the north of Australia then.
Yes.
And there's this hot air balloon coming up over your horse.
Well, I'm glad that there was only one and not six that morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mareeba is quite well known for its hot air balloons. And they frequently chase us around when we're trying to ride in the park.
Yeah.
I have had them land in the middle of lessons before. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, all horses get kind of freaky about hot air balloons. Is yours kind of used to it now?
She is. She doesn't really pay them much attention. Although one day they landed in the middle of the road, and we really needed to get to the other side. And I actually had to walk her underneath it. And I'm sure there's probably heaps of YouTube videos from some Japanese tourists of this absolutely petrified Appaloosa just bouncing underneath this hot air balloon. It would have been hilarious if I wasn't on the other end of the rain.
Right, exactly. If you're not the one on the horse.
Yeah.
So now tell me about the area you live in. Describe it for all of us that have never been there before.
It's probably, in this region, it's probably the closest you'll come to desert country. Quite scrubby, you know, a lot of red soil.
What's that mean, red soil?
A lot of the area around here is farmland.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, your rich topsoil.
Yep.
Whereas Mareeba is quite sandy, quite rocky. The very last place on earth you would imagine there's a dressage community, but yeah.
Yeah, that seems more like where you live. It's probably more like where Jamie lives, very sandy
yes.
and deserty. Yeah.
Yes, I can definitely relate to where Jamie lives.
Yeah, sand colic problems and all of that.
Yep.
So
I've always said if I go to America, I'm going to Arizona.
You'll feel like home. Now, is there a lot of trail riding where you are? You said park.
Yeah, a lot of people around here own horses. There's a really big Western community. We also have a fair few endurance and trail riders.
Mm-hmm.
Dressage, show jumping, yeah. A lot of people with horses, a lot of people trying to ride in the park.
And a dressage community.
Yes, actually we have two.
Oh, is that right?
We have one down in Cairns as well, which is about an hour east of where I live. So
there's no problem getting the shows and things where you are?
Not really, no. We don't have a lot of big competitions up here, mainly just small club competitions. But we have a few clinicians who come up, which is really good for the area.
Well,
and we've got a... got a lovely lady about half an hour down the road from where I live who actually competed in the Beijing Olympics.
Oh, really? Who was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Paralympics. Her name's Georgia Bruce.
Tell me, how'd you get into horses?
Oh, when I was 3 years old, my aunt gave me a My Little Pony, and apparently it was all downhill from there.
See, that's
no
what
one,
they do.
No one in my family is horsey.
You're it, huh?
I'm it, to my parents' despair, I think, especially when I fall off.
Well, if you fall off around where you live, you're fine. It's all sand. This is a soft landing.
Unless you hit the rocks.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now,
or the tarmac.
How'd you get a white Appaloosa? I didn't even know they made such a thing.
Well, if you wash her down, you'll find she's actually gray and pink.
Okay.
But she's what they call a few spots. So she's got so many spots you can't see the base color.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's great in winter because she's white and fluffy. But in summer, she gets sunburnt all over.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of her and the picture you posted on our Facebook page. By the way, if you go to Horses in the Morning on Facebook, you'll see the picture Mel posted of her with the hot air balloon, which ironically enough has a kangaroo on it. Your horse definitely looks, you know, Appaloosa from the butt. She's got
I'll post a face photo. you'll see the Appaloosa there.
I mean, she does look, she has that build.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like a skinny quarter horse, let's put it that way.
No. We think she's got a bit of Arab in her somewhere, but no one's entirely sure where.
So do you have a real job to support this horse of yours?
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
That's what we all say.
I'm actually a psychologist.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I've got my provisional registration, which means I'm basically an intern. So for the next 2 years, I'll be on very low wage. But, yeah, that's how I support my horses.
Well, you're in a big horsey community, so being a psychologist is perfect.
Exactly.
We need
I'm
all the
surrounded
help we
by
can
crazy
get.
People.
That's right. Exactly.
I think I may just be one of them.
The problem is we don't go get help. That's the problem.
No. But I'm thinking, you know, sports psychology. It'd be a big industry up here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, with horse people and serious competitors, they all, you know, they all get help in the mental side of the game because it is the most important side at this point when you get to that
very,
level.
Very much so.
Yeah. Because it's tough. It's a tough sport, like any other sport, and you need all the help you can get.
Well, and I find horse people like to beat themselves up, too. You know, if the horse didn't quite respond the way they expected, it's all our fault.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's because we're so headstrong. We have to beat our own horses and get through the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, have you traveled, have you ever been to the United States yet?
I have, but I was only six. It was really cruel of my parents to take me to the United States when I was only six, because I can't remember it.
Right, you don't remember much of it.
But I know we went to Texas and Florida, and that's about it.
Okay, there you go.
That's all I can remember.
Well, we'd love to have you come back again sometime. If you do, you have to stop by Arizona and Florida so you can visit with Jamie and I.
Definitely. I've been hearing all about this this place in Florida you're moving to.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, small summer holiday, maybe trot on over to the States.
The problem with Australia and the United States is there's no small holiday because it takes 25 hours to fly. So
that's true.
It's never a small holiday when you have to spend 2 days traveling and 3 days recovering each direction.
That's true. And also when you have horses, try and find someone to feed them while you're away.
Yeah, do you have a problem with that there, or is there somebody handy that could take care of your horse?
Well, at the moment, I actually keep my horse at a friend's house, so no, that side of it is covered.
You know, that's one of the things we always have this discussion about, whether it's, you know, there are positives and negatives to boarding your horse or keeping your horse at home, and one of the negatives of keeping it at home is you got to find somebody to take care of your horse.
That's true. That's true. I have two big dogs, which I have that issue with, trying to find someone to look after them when I want to go away.
So where's the coolest place you've ridden in Australia?
Definitely Mariba.
Right where you are.
Although I have ridden horses. I grew up in a place called Weipa, which is even further north than Mariba. And riding around there was quite an experience. You really learn to hold on, stick.
In what way? Why?
Well, a lot of the kids up there are stock kids, so they come off cattle properties.
Yep.
And we have two gates: stop and go.
And go fast.
And go fast, and try to avoid the crocodiles.
Well, now that I wanted to ask you about that, because we were talking in last Friday's show about moving to Florida and all the critters and bugs and spiders and snakes that we're going to encounter. What do you encounter there every day where you live?
I think that show actually described my backyard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've had quite an interesting summer. We haven't had a whole lot of rain. And the snakes have been particularly active this year. So I was taking out a wheelbarrow full of hay one morning and noticed my horse was sort of standing at the gate, a bit agitated, pawing, stamping, very unlike her. And went to, you know, sort of check out what she was looking at. And here's this eastern brown snake right next to the gate. And it's actually Australia's second most deadly snake and one of the most aggressive. So needless to say, yeah, we had to get rid of it real quick, and it was a bit territorial, didn't want to leave.
Well, how'd you get rid of it?
I'm not allowed to say how I got rid of it because they're a protected species.
Oh.
We moved it on. We'll put it that way. We moved it on.
No longer an issue.
No. No. But, you know, if you don't annoy them, they tend not to annoy us. So we just coexist with them.
Except your horse that day was annoyed.
So. Yeah. I'm glad that she noticed it, though.
Wow. So you have a lot of snakes.
I would have... Sorry?
You have a lot of snakes. Any other critters that are interesting to Australia?
Crocodiles, definitely interesting. Not so much where I live, because I'm a little bit too inland. But I grew up north, and crocodile territory. But again, like you just stay out of their habitat, and they pretty much leave us alone.
They could be
scaring tourists, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We always have this vision, you know, those of us that don't live in Australia, that you have the most exotic animals. You know, you have the coolest predators and, you know, big spiders the size of your hand and things like that. That's our vision of what you have in Australia.
Here's a tip. If you come to Australia and somebody offers you a koala to hold, don't do it.
Not nice?
Because they're grumpy and they like to pee on you. Seriously. The kangaroos, they're fun, you know. There's lots of tame ones you can go and pat. But koalas, I'd stay away from them.
Done. I'm going to cut this part out so the next time Jamie and I go to Australia together, I can have her hold a koala.
You're mean, Glenn.
Well, Mel, this has been great getting to know you a little bit, and we appreciate you listening and following and contributing on Facebook all the time. I realize that you have to listen to the show recorded because it's the middle of the night over there. Good luck. When do you start competing? Is that going to be soon, or are you at the end of your season now?
No, we're just coming into the season, and my horse has recovered from a bit of a skin issue, which she gets every year, and so she's... We're getting her fit for the end of April. Will be the start of our competition season, and I'm hoping to boot her up a level this year, so that'll be a bit exciting.
Well, good luck with that. What's your horse's name again?
Her name's Bella.
Bella. All right. Well, good luck to you and Bella in the competition season this year. We look forward to following, and be sure you post on Facebook as you go through the season and keep us up to date.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Mel. Well, we're back. So, Jamie, are you ready to hold a koala now?
Did you hear me? Can you hear me?
No. I can hear you now.
Oh, I came out saying that I'm going to hold a koala bear whether you like it or not. And I have a photo of Chad holding a koala bear when he was in Australia. So it's happened. And I don't know. She's crazy, obviously.
Did he get peed on?
I don't think he got peed on, no. I think he would have mentioned that.
Just checking. I'm just checking. Well, it was nice of her to join us. It sounds like a great place. I think instead of her coming to visit us, we should go to visit her. That's what I think.
I definitely think that would be a good idea. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted because I am reading Twitter. And apparently, according to jockey Mike Smith's Facebook page, Zenyatta's first foal is due within the next 24 hours.
Ooh.
And kind of a big deal. At Team Zenyatta is who you want to follow. And apparently, Zenyatta's spokespeople, because why wouldn't she have a spokesperson? Sarah Campion, who is the spokesperson for David and Gordo, said she has not foaled yet. It's coming today.
Soon. We'll hear soon. Cool.
All right. Good deal.
Well, you know how that goes, though. We've had a lot of polls that we thought were coming today and never showed up.
I don't know. I just have a feeling in my belly because I'm totally connected to that horse, and she's like my best friend. so I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Hey, speaking of thoroughbreds, if I may, I would like to give a little shout out to the Thoroughbred Incentive Program. Do you know what the thoroughbred? Do you remember what that is?
Yeah, we talked about it before, but I don't quite remember what it was.
The Thoroughbred Incentive Program, or the TIP, is the Jockey Club's incentive program to kind of encourage the retraining of off-the-track thoroughbreds for other disciplines. So the Jockey Club actually committed $100,000 to be awarded to the winners of classes, divisions, or in various shows and disciplines. If you go to, I think it's TJCTIP.com, that's the Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program, .com. All about, you know, how the pilot program is working and how it was approved and the sponsorships. But I was, I entered my next horse trial, which is called 3-Day Ranch. It's in California, and it's not this weekend, but the next weekend. And lo and behold, there is a Thoroughbred Incentive Program money that I could win. If you are the highest placed thoroughbred in your division, only talking beginner, novice, novice, training, prelim, intermediate, I think that's as high as they go, then you win $100. So I like to state it right now. I'm filling out paperwork for my proof of eligibility. I have to either have his full registration, which I don't have, clearly, because he was a rescue, or you have to have the 5-cross pedigree and the tattoo result from the jockey. I guess I'm going to have to do a little more work than I thought. I got to get the jockey club to approve his tattoo, which is going to be hard because he really doesn't like you looking at it. So I'm going to have to fill out some paperwork here and get him approved, all because I could possibly win $100. Yay!
That's pretty good. You know, it's pretty bad, though, when you have to ace your horse to look at the tattoo.
I think it would have to be something a wee bit stronger than ace, to be honest with you.
We have to sedate the horse to look at the tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. Here you go, Jockey Club. Now I can't compete him because he's got drugs in his system.
Well, that's great. So that's next week, right?
Yeah, next weekend. So I will not be here. I'll be here this Friday, but I will not be here the next Friday because we are taking off. And apparently the 3-day ranch horse trial is so remote. It is so in the middle of nowhere that they don't have, they almost promised there will be no cell phone service. And they said on the horse trial entry to bring a walkie-talkie radio because there is no way to call anybody. There's not even hotels. There are no hotels. You have to, if you don't have a living quarters or you bring your tent or something, you actually have to go rent. A lot of people, they go and rent a motorhome or and they have it delivered there. Isn't that weird? So you have to, there's nowhere to stay. Nowhere. It's so remote.
Wow. Well, we're looking forward to hearing about it when you get back. And so that's next Friday. So you'll be here this week for Really Bad Ads. And we have a great prize that we're going to talk about a little bit later. So get your ads in. But yeah, that's great. I'm excited to hear all about your adventure to almost Mexico. Now, the drug runners come through this particular property that the show is on, or don't we know?
Well, the good news is it doesn't really matter to me because I'm going to be on an off-the-track thoroughbred, and he can outrun them.
Okay, good.
So I don't even care.
All right, our song today is brought to you by FeedXL. FeedXL is the place you go where you find out if you're feeding your horse correctly. You know, we talk about this website all the time, and if you haven't taken the time to go there, there are a lot of free sections of the website. Take a look at the articles and all the great content that's on there. You know, we talk about the part that you actually have to pay a couple dollars for to go see and get the complete analysis about what you're feeding your horse. But there's all kinds of free stuff on there. They have all different sections. This is one of the easiest websites to get around. It's very well built. So go to feedxl.com and look at the articles and look what's there, and then take the time to go over and fill out the information about your horse and what you're feeding them. and get those extensive reports to find out if you're lacking in some areas, if you're feeding them too much in some areas. This actually will help you save money in many cases, because a lot of people oversupplement their horses, and it takes a look at that as well. So that's feedxl.com. All right, this is the day where we're playing another one of Templeton's new songs, her cover songs from her new CD. This one is called Landslide, and we want you to post on Facebook, when you hear the song, who it was written by and who performed it first. This is called Landslide.
My love, and I took it down. Climbed a mountain, and I turned around, and I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills, till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child within my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my life? Yeah. Well, I've been afraid of change. Build my life around you, but time makes you bolder. Even children get older, and I'm getting older too. Yeah.
Templeton Thompson and Landslide off of her new Icy Blue Heart CD, which will be out shortly. We'll let you know she's going to come on the show the day it comes out. So, Jamie, who wrote it?
Well, obviously it's Stevie Nicks. That was like the easiest question ever, because, you know, if I know an old song like that, it's easy. And, you know, the Dixie Chicks did it, although it never can compare to Stevie Nicks. And I was actually Googling it. And there's a quote from Stevie Nicks explaining what this song means. I don't know if this is really what it means, but she wrote, you know, I remember sitting in some house in Colorado in like 1973 with a beautiful view in somebody's big, beautiful home where I'd gone to dinner or something. I took my guitar and I went into this beautiful room and I sat and I wrote Landslide. I can remember it and seeing it through my eyes when I was, oh my gosh, in my early 20s, and then through my eyes all the way up until now, and through you guys' eyes. It's really quite an amazing metamorphosis for this song from generation to generation to generation, and I'm so proud to be a part of it. I kind of get that. I don't know.
I got to tell you that I think Templeton did a great job with it. So many times you hear the covers and you go, oh, you know, why'd they do that? But none of them that Templeton has done have I said that yet. I think she chose her songs well.
She really did. And that's a beautiful song, and she's got a beautiful voice. So good job, Templeton.
All right. It is time, I think, that time of the week for this.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
And it is a time where we get to ruin Glenn's lunch, but I don't think we're going to do it today because we've got Michelle, obviously, from thehorse.com, and Dr. Brad Jackman of Pioneer Equine Hospital in Oakdale, California. So thank you for getting up early with us and talking to us today about Western performance issues. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. I love that song. That was so nice to listen to.
And good morning, Dr. Jackman.
Well, good morning, and I'll do all I can not to ruin anybody's lunch.
Oh, no, we try to ruin it, so I would appreciate anything gory you can throw out there.
Yeah,
just so
I don't know how gory this one is. We're going to talk Western performance injuries. You know, last week we talked about navicular, and that stemmed from that March article we're running in our print issue about caring for the different disciplines and Western horses specifically. So,
hey, Michelle.
Yes.
Let me jump in there. I just wanted to let you know that after our discussion of navicular, I turned down the free lesson horse that has navicular. Yeah.
You know, and Jamie, I almost emailed you after that. I know a really wonderful lesson horse that was navicular, and his MRI was really ugly, and we gave him a chance, and he was fantastic. So there are some really positive stories, but are you feeling good about your decision?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Now I feel great about
Sorry.
It.
Sorry. I got busy. I meant to email you. But, yeah, a horse named Buck, really great heading horse that was navicular, and they said he would never trot with a rider on him again. And 5 years later, he walked trots and canters. He's a therapeutic riding horse at Healing Reins in Bend, Oregon. So, anyway, sorry.
Does Buck need a new home? Because I'd be happy to take him.
Oh, man, he's an awesome horse. And he's one of these Western performance horses that, you know, his issue flared up. He was a high-performance horse, a serious heading horse, and couldn't hold up to that kind of work. But, you know, I've been thinking about this Western performance thing a little bit because I don't know if I've mentioned, but I'm a dressage rider, and I'm pretty serious about it. But in Bend, Oregon, our dressage ladies are also cowgirls. We wear belt buckles, you know, and I'm thinking about taking my quarter horse and starting to do some cattle sorting. I think that he would really like that, and I think it would be a fun break for me, too, from how serious I take my dressage. So I started thinking about doing that, but now I'm worried that I'm going to break my horse. So, Dr. Jackman, hopefully you're not going to get me too worried. We might not gross out Glenn, but we might get me a little anxious over this one.
Oh, I think when you start adding multiple disciplines to horses and give them the mind break, I think they actually enjoy it, and I think they can perform better at their intended use. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, yeah. And my little quarter horse, he has tried hard, and he schools second level for dressage. But I spent a lot of time with my Hanoverian doing the upper level stuff, and so I thought this could be fun. But I'm a little worried about breaking him just because his body isn't used to this kind of stuff, and it's fast, and you stop hard. And so what are some of the differences that you see as a veterinarian between the English discipline horses and the Western discipline horses?
Well, and there's a wide variety of Western discipline horses. We obviously have the rodeo horses, so your roping horses, your calf roping horses, team roping horses, as well as your barrel racing horses. But, you know, we also have, you know, the events such as reining cow, horse, and cutting. And what we do find on a lot of these horses is that there are a lot of, you know, sharp, quick turns, kind of rollover aspects, torque type aspects that occur through, you know, the soft tissues in the joints, and, you know, subsequently we can obviously see some injuries related to those.
Mm-hmm. So are a lot of those injuries really like you're riding and your horse is flying and then they're injured, some kind of acute injury?
Yeah, some of them can be. I mean, you know, definitely, you know, one of the things we'll see, and especially in the cutting horses, to a lesser extent in the reiners and the reining cow horses, are, you know, injuries to the stifles, and they generally are, you know, acute-type injuries, albeit, you know, you can't have wear and tear that then predisposes to an acute type of an injury. But we'll also see, you know, what I consider kind of more, you know, chronic insidious. You know, there's wear and tear that happens, there's remodeling that's constantly happening in the body, and then, you know, there gets to a point, there reaches a point where that particular, you know, body structure can't withstand the stress, and then you do get, you know, kind of a acute exacerbation of something that's probably kind of been creeping up on us, and that's some of the things that we'll see, you know, regarding suspensory injuries.
Okay. Yeah, and I spent quite a bit of time at a reining barn a few years back, and I saw a lot of things being done to support horses' hocks. And we do that, of course, with our English sport horses, too. But what's going on with those horses' hocks and the injections on those?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the hocks, I mean, the horse is unique in that, you know, the primary wear and tear area on the horse's hind leg is the lower hock joints. And you know, the hock is equivalent to our ankle, but it actually has four different joints. There's a top joint that really has all the kind of flexion extension that comes from the hock movement. But then, you know, there's two lower joints that don't communicate with that upper joint as far as the fluid doesn't pass back and forth between the joints. And those are the ones that kind of really take that torque stress. The good news is that, you know, those joints really only have 1-2%, you know, really flexion aspects. So they're not a high motion joint. You know, conversely, like in a human, our wear and tear kind of usually is our knee, and that's a high motion joint. And anytime you have wear and tear or injury happening to a high motion joint, it's got a much poorer prognosis. So these lower hock joints that then do sustain that stress do have a tendency to get inflamed periodically, or they can actually progress to arthritic conditions. But this is something that we can generally manage and manage very well throughout a horse's entire athletic career with periodic injections as well as some supplements and stuff to try to, you know, keep these horses performing well. So lower hocks tend to have a tendency to be more of a performance injury versus a overt lameness aspect. And so, you know, if they are bothering the horse, we will periodically inject these joints to try and calm that inflammation down. Because they're low motion, these are joints that seem to do very well with injections, and a lot of them don't even ever progress to an arthritic condition. And, you know, because of that, if we have these hocks working well, because these horses do stress these in their normal movements that they have to do to perform, we also think that that helps protect the other joints in the body, such as the stifle and stuff. So we think it's important to keep those things working well.
Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned the suspensory injuries. Do you see a lot of those in these Western performance horses?
We see a fair number of them. We see both front-end and hind-end. The front-end suspensory injuries we probably see more commonly in cutting horses than anything. One of the reasons is, well, there's probably two major fold. One is that if anybody's ever watched a cutting competition, when they go to, you know, first enter that herd, they need to do it in a very quiet fashion. They don't want to spook the cattle, get them stirred up, and they need to kind of move through that herd very quietly. And in which case, obviously, these are athletes. A lot of these are younger athletes. They have a tendency to really enjoy what they're doing and get a little excited about it. And so a lot of these horses are kind of exercised down, so they're warmed up very well. But, you know, they go in to perform after they've been exercised for a while. And then the other thing is to do the very, you know, kind of quick turns and stuff, they need to have good footing under them, which means they do have to compete in a little bit deeper ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you combine those two things, a fatigue type of an aspect as well as, you know, the deeper ground, and we do have a tendency to see those front suspensories take a little bit of the brunt of the blow.
Yeah, and if you've ever watched any of the cuttings, those horses are down in the dirt and they're enjoying their job and moving. If one were to do something to the suspensory while they were training or competing, is it going to be just an instant thing? The rider's going to feel it and pull up the horse, or is that horse's adrenaline going to be going a little bit and it's going to show up later?
Usually it'll show up a little bit later. I mean, you know, as that adrenaline's going, and because they are doing most of their work on their hind end, you know, in reality, usually they can go ahead and compete that competition. As they get done, the adrenaline starts coming down. You know, sometimes they'll notice a little bit of swelling, a little bit of heat in that leg, and that's when they'll start showing a little bit of soreness.
Mm-hmm. So what about some of the other sports, like the barrel horses? I know a couple years back I saw a horse at the circuit finals in my area slip around the barrel and ended up with a broken pelvis. Are those kind of injuries and broken bones things that you see in Western performance horses?
You know, we do. I mean, one of the things that's, you know, we see definitely higher incidence in, you know, the Western performance horses, especially like the rodeo type horses versus the English sport horses, are pastern injuries. And again, it relates to the torque that's occurring at high speeds, and you will get a sudden injury to the pastern, and oftentimes, you know, potentially even a fracture of the hind pasterns more so than the front pasterns. But, you know, when we do see those slips and that type of thing, that then has a tendency to show as an injury higher up in the leg, whether it's stifled through the pelvis, and we'll sometimes see pelvic fractures. We'll see stifle injuries that relate to, you know, usually kind of more of a ligament or a meniscal type injury. So those are definitely something that we have a tendency to see more in the Western performance horse.
Yeah, and so what's the prognosis on those kind of injuries? Because that sounds to me like it'd be kind of devastating. Is that always the case?
Well, it's not always the case. I mean, amazingly enough, I mean, the pelvic fractures, when we see, you know, injuries up high, you know, unfortunately, just due to the size of the horse and that type of bone, I mean, as far as, you know, what we can do from a therapeutic standpoint or from a surgical standpoint is very limited. And so in that situation, usually we're looking at a rest-type period. But it is not uncommon, as long as the pelvic fracture really doesn't communicate into the hip joint, it's not uncommon, actually, for those horses to actually come back as full athletes again. But it just takes time, 6 months to a year rest, but a lot of those horses can come back. As far as the pastern injuries go, again, those are generally more related to a fracture type of a situation. And that is one of the true, you know, fractured bones in a horse or fractured legs in a horse that we, you know, it's not a devastating injury. It usually does require surgery where we go in and actually do a arthrodesis, or we actually fuse that pastern joint. And on a hind leg, we, you know, as long as it's not a severe fracture of the bone or communicates, you know, all the way through the bone, and most of these don't, then we can actually give a very, very good prognosis for returning to full athletic competition again.
Okay. So with a horse like mine, my quarter horse, Jack, who hasn't been doing much other than loping around and some trail rides, and I'm thinking about going to do this with him, and with him, I know that once he figures out the cows are running from him, he's going to really dig it. So what can I do to protect him or a horse like that who's starting out in Western performance training? What kind of management things can Western riders do to protect their horses from injury?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, and it comes down to any horse, is actually just a really good conditioning program. And, you know, I think one of the things is that when we're competing these horses on a high level and that type of thing, I mean, it's pretty easy to have them in training, have them in a consistent conditioning program, keep them in shape, that type of a thing. But then, you know, we have these situations where, you know, we're kind of the weekend warriors and our work schedules or whatever don't allow us to probably keep these horses conditioned as well as possible. And that's what predisposes us to injury, and it's no different than us as people itself. So I think a good conditioning program is vital and paramount. The other thing is that doing everything possible to make certain the foundation of that horse is taken care of. And the cornerstone of that is going to be proper farrier work, making certain that we have the feet at the proper angle, that we're getting our shoeing done at a consistent interval, that, you know, we have the proper support, whether it's, you know, the right shoe on them, the proper amount of heel support, those types of things. I think are absolutely critical. And then obviously we like to, you know, do things to try to, you know, just maintain the health of those joints as much as possible, in which case, you know, we can go with the oral supplements, or, you know, we really, you know, at least in our practice, we really like the use of, you know, Adequan as a, you know, preventative aspect to try and maintain the health of a horse's joint.
Question. Let me jump in here real quick and ask one question. Now, you know, I love using Adequan, and recently somebody said to me that, you know, there's the potential for using a generic form of Adequan to save some money. How do you feel about that?
Well, first and foremost, there is no such thing as a generic Adequan, okay? And, there, you know, a true generic is a compound that has the exact same chemical formulation of the original product or the trade name product that was out there. There is some compounded product out there, which is made by a compounding pharmacy, that has some molecules in it that are in Adequan but doesn't have the full complete, you know, arsenal of molecules in there that Adequan does. So, you know, I think the aspect of saying there's generic Adequan is actually misleading. There is no such thing out there. Now, that being said, I mean, you know, we know a number of owners and that utilize the, it's typically termed N-acetyl D-glucosamine, and glucosamine is one of the molecules in Adequan. They feel like they do have some benefit from that. It's definitely less expensive, but I'm generally of a believer you get what you pay for.
Oh. Okay. So and regarding like the joint supplements, where should horse owners turn to get more information about the supplements?
Yeah, I mean, and it's difficult because there are a myriad of them out there. And I mean, every time you pick up a new trade magazine, it seems like there's a new one out there. I would actually encourage them to talk to their veterinarian because, you know, there is definitely a lot of, you know, recommendations out there, whether it's made by trainers or owners or you know, affidavits from veterinarians or that type of thing. But in reality, there is a paucity of, you know, true good research related to these things. But I would encourage people to talk to their own veterinarian about what they particularly like. I mean, we have some that we have a tendency to recommend that we think are good supplements regarding, you know, maintaining the health of a joint. But I would say, you know, contact your veterinarian.
Okay. Well, I think what I'm taking away from this is I need to ride my quarter horse a little bit more before I get him out after the cattle and get him in shape.
Yeah, I would strongly encourage it. I mean, you know, have him in a nice conditioning program. When you start doing the athletic venture that you want to do, let's not jump to the highest level. Let's kind of start easy and work our way up to it. Meaning, if we want to make it a rope horse, you know, let's not chase the absolutely fastest cattle we can to start with, and let's kind of, you know, work our way into it, no different than any other discipline.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Jackman, for joining us today and talking about these Western performance horses. I appreciate it. And if anyone's looking for more information about Western performance care, you can go to thehorse.com. We have an article up. It's from that March issue. It's article 19670. Put that in the search bar, and you can find that article. So check that out.
Well, thanks, guys, both of you very much. Michelle, we'll talk to you again next week. Dr. Jackman, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey,
it was my pleasure.
Hey, and Jamie, can I throw something really quick out that I almost forgot about? We have an Ask the Vet Live coming up next week. It's next Thursday the 15th. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's going to be about supportive care for horses who've colicked in the past. And so you can listen in for about an hour. We'll have two experts, one of the top colic experts in the world, and a great nutrition expert to talk about your questions, owners' questions about horses that have colicked in the past and hoping to help prevent that in the future.
All right, guys, that sounds great. That's thehorse.com. Thank you guys very much. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Well,
all right,
Jamie,
Glenn. Yeah.
Did you hear about the lady who won the $336 million Powerball jackpot on February the 11th?
No, because you're the kind of lottery follower, so tell me about it.
I'm a lottery groupie. So she won. This is the fourth largest lottery in history, and she's 81 years old from Newport, Rhode Island. She walked away with a check for $210 million in a lump sum payout. Apparently, after she won, or after she found out she won this, she checked it on the TV, and she thought she had messed up some numbers, so she actually waited till it was replayed again on the TV. You can see her. She's 81-year-old, sitting in the house, right, trying to write the numbers down quickly, and then she thought she messed some up, so she waited till it came on the TV again, and she wrote them all down, and she checked her ticket. Well, all the numbers matched. Well, she wasn't sure that meant she won, so she apparently got somebody else in the house, and they went and they looked on the computer to see if she had won. Well, the computer said she had won, too, but she didn't believe it. She thought maybe the computer was messed up, so she had her family turn the computer off and turn it back on and then went back to the website to make sure the numbers were still the same.
You're kidding me.
No. And after all of that, she was convinced, and she kept the ticket in her Bible for safekeeping while they were working it out. And apparently they started a trust. She went to a lawyer and did it right, and they started a trust and everything before they went to claim the prize. So, yep, that's the story. 81 years old, just won herself a few bucks. She said she and her family are going on vacation to an undisclosed location, and they're not sure what they're going to do after that.
Okay, like, how happy are these family members that their 81-year-old relative just won the lottery? And you know what? I hope she makes it to 120 and spends every dime.
Dime, yeah. That's exactly right. Well, she's still playing the lottery. Apparently, last week, she won $80 in a scratch-off game. So.
Okay, that's enough, woman. Put the money down. Good Lord. Why are you still playing for $80 when you just won $210 million? I hope she's given that money to charity. Give the $80 to charity. Hey, just to let you know that there is no news about Zenyatta having her foal yet. But apparently everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. So when I woke up this morning and felt like she was going to have her foal today, it still could happen. So hopefully tomorrow we'll bring you the news that Zenyatta had a boy. I don't know
if that's
going to be the case, but I'm making a prediction.
You don't want Zenyatta to have a girl?
I kind of like boy horses better. I just feel like in my riding program, when he's done racing, I prefer geldings. So when he's done with his career, clearly he's going to come to me and be an event horse. So I would prefer him to be a boy.
Yeah, but he'll come to you as a stallion. Is that what you want?
He might not. I don't know. Depends on how successful he is. Or fractious.
Well, I can honestly say that I've never seen this kind of anxiousness for the birth of any foal before.
I know. It's pretty exciting. I'm thrilled. Let's wrap the show. Because
do you want me
I'm
to go out there? It's not too far from my house. Do you want me to go out there with like a big telescope and sit along the road with my big telescope?
Oh, my gosh. You know what you should do is just camp outside the lanes and the gates and just be like, have like, it's a boy or it's a girl signs ready for when they break the news.
All right, I'll do that. I'll be waiting out there. You would. I know you would. They would be arresting you and dragging you off the properties. What would be happening?
They would be like, will you please stop sleeping out here? It's snowing. She's not due for 3 weeks. Just go home.
They don't have a mare stair cam on her, do they?
Oh, my God. Just go to marestair.com, see if we can find Zenyatta. What a great idea. I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think Lane's End has gone to Marestair yet.
Considering that I have sent messages to Charles, the assistant broodmare manager, 3 times now this morning during the show, the last one I did say, I will leave you alone. I'm sorry. He's
stalker.
I'm crazy.
Stalker.
I know.
Hey, did you cook dinner for the in-laws that were in yesterday? Did you cook dinner?
Yes, I did. And they're still here. You know what? I got smart, actually. I went to Trader Joe's and bought, like, already stuffed chicken breast and already done this and already done that, and then I just heated it all up. So don't tell anybody. I stuffed those chicken breasts with all the ingredients. So I don't even know what was in them. I just bought it. Oh, it was great. Yes, I made a salad. I did do that. And so, yeah, no, they're standing off the door, and they're ready for breakfast. So I'm going to go.
All right. All right,
only,
you go make 30. Breakfast. Have fun. And we'll talk to everybody again tomorrow morning. Don't forget Really Bad Ads this week. We have a great prize we're going to announce tomorrow for the winner of Really Bad Ads. So get them into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. That's it, everybody. Thank you for being with us. Thank you to Mel for joining us today and for thehorse.com.
Go, Zinni. Team Zinni, having a baby. Spay, neuter, and geld everybody else. What do you think?
Are you making breakfast?
Boy or girl? What do you think, by the way?
Girl.
Okay. Let's make a little wager, shall we?